Coffee with Cudmore.
Light 104.7 and 1570 AM. WVTL.
On the line to Ashland, Ohio, an Amsterdam native and poet, Stephen Haven. Good morning, Stephen.
Good morning, Bob. Thanks for having me on.
You have a new book called The Last Sacred Place in North America, a new book of poetry?
Yes, it just came out on Amazon last week.
And at some point, I'll ask you to read a poem from the book, so keep that in mind. But first off, you have an accolade for it as it comes out. It's won a poetry prize?
Yes, it won the New American Press Poetry Prize. The judge was T.R. Hummer, critic and author of 9 or 10 books of poems. He selected the book from, in an open competition with about 300 entries. Mm-hmm. And there was $1,000 cash prize and publication.
Tell us a little bit about your life here in Amsterdam. You grew up in Amsterdam.
Yes, I grew up on Guy Park Avenue, 253 Guy Park Avenue, to be exact. So I'm a West End boy.
Mm-hmm.
And lived about a couple blocks from the Mohawk River, which I came to love. Used to play football down on the Mohawk River by the museum that is there. I hear there was that it was destroyed in the flood recently.
Mm. Yeah. Oh, the well, it wasn't destroyed, but it was badly damaged. They're rebuilding it, but well, it's a long story. But you brought up that apparently it's not going to be the home of the museum anymore. The State Canal Corporation might move in there, and also go ahead.
Yeah, we used to play football right along the locks with many of my friends from the West End.
Yeah. And also, you were, I think, what they call a PK, a preacher's kid.
Yes, my father was the Episcopal rector at St. Anne's Church, so I was a preacher's kid. It was somewhat of an odd thing to be in a largely Catholic town where priests didn't have children. But, yes, my father was minister at St. Anne's for close to 30 years.
That was the Reverend Robert Haven, correct?
Yes. Mm-hmm.
And the book of poetry, you say, focuses to some extent on, I believe your father and your mother and your growing up?
Well, the book is a post-World War II book, so there are elegies in the book for the entire dead or dying World War II generation, but then I have more personal elegies in the book as well for members of my family who were part of the World War II generation, including for my father and for my mother.
Mm-hmm. Plus, you also have poems about some time you spent in China?
Yeah, the middle section of the book addresses some things that I experienced in China. I spent 2 years there in the 90s, and recently I went back for 6 weeks last spring to Chongqing, China. So there are a few poems about Chongqing, China in 2011.
Mm. And you have poems about the changes that we've experienced, a couple you sent to me, including the digital age, nuclear weapons.
The book focuses on the post-World War II period, so that, you know, that's when nuclear weapons begin. The space age comes out of that same rocket technology, and, you know, just the explosion of knowledge we have about space also comes from that technology with space-based telescopes. You know, all of that begins to change, I think, our sense of ourselves, maybe even the way we experience, you know, our personal lives.
What do you mean by the title, The Last Sacred Place in North America?
Well, literally, it refers to the Rothko Chapel in Houston, Texas, where the interior of that chapel is all completely black. If you walk into it, it's got a circular shape, and there are black panels all the way around. The chapel has no denomination. I think Mark Rothko was suggesting maybe that mystery can speak for itself, and that, you know, any attempt to define the divine in human terms kind of pulls the divine down to a human level. So it's better to just, you know, stand before mystery without trying to sum it up in human language. So the title specifically refers to the Rothko Chapel. That is the title of one of the poems in the book. Mm-hmm. But it has a larger meaning, I think, too, given all the challenges we're facing with the way, you know, modern technology is shaping our time and maybe even threatening, you know, our ability to sustain human culture into the future.
Mm. Yeah, it does seem to be a rather pointed title. I mean, if you were saying that this chapel you're referring to was one of the, or a sacred place, that'd be one thing, but you're saying it's the last.
Well, the way my son put it, you know, that could mean various things. My son's take on that is, you know, it could be the last in a series of sacred places. So not the final sacred place, but a series of sacred places. And, you know, maybe the culmination of the sense of the sacred is again, standing, you know, in the face of mystery without trying to define it in human terms, much as, you know, in the Jewish religion, it's sacrilegious to speak God's name. So they, you know, they won't utter the word Yahweh in the Jewish religion because, again, that's an attempt to define the divine in human language.
Mm-hmm. Stephen Haven with us, his book of poetry, The Last Sacred Place in North America. Could you favor us with a bit of a poetry reading?
Sure. I'll read one poem that I think was, you know, deeply informed by my growing up on Guy Park Avenue. The poem doesn't really, you know, address directly my childhood on Guy Park Avenue, but I used to hear the train go by at night, that train was very much a part of my childhood experience. And I guess when I was writing about the passing of the entire World War II generation, somehow I thought about it in terms of being down on the tracks, standing in the wake of a freight train that had just blasted by. And in my poem, the train is gone for good, but it never disappears. It's always out there on the horizon. And I guess, in a sense, that's my metaphor for what happens when an entire generation starts, you know, to die off very quickly. So this poem is called The Last Train By. You draw close in the vacuum of its past, a railroad defunct for ages now, and the still whoosh of a train just passed. Then in the distance, your eye picks out some rusted denouement, the end game of the last car's flash that never quite disappears and is always fading fast. Through rubber soles, you feel the pressure points were stones the size of a child's fist pressed through. How odd you look when someone finds you there, your wife, your husband, the woman who cuts your hair, leaping from tarred tie to tie or over the dead hum of the third rail. You circle some hole in the air and sense or seem to sense a birth at last, some safe haven, fast passage, but you know better than that. No silver bullet where this line has been or bends, nothing but the crack of an old freight, its inhuman weight, and the ride gone by, no one left behind from whom to beg or barter a seat, but some clerk in a fin de siècle cap, forever closing for the final time the gratitude of his grated window. Not even you can tell if once that whistle blew steam in your electric childhood, or if that banked cry booms now in your right or your wrong mind. The wind sway of weeds against your knees, pussy willow, burdock, no danger there. Though in that absent blast, still in the blank flex of the horizon, you can't quite clear the track.
That's Stephen Haven from his new book of poetry, The Last Sacred Place in North America. You going to come home for a book signing?
Oh, I would love to do that. I came to Queensbury, New York, a few years ago for the annual book fair up there. But, yeah, I would love to do that. I don't really have my plans made. I'll give a reading at Wayne State University in Detroit next fall. And I gave the first reading from the book at the University of Tennessee, Chattanooga, in March. But it is so fresh that I don't really know what my plans are in terms of giving readings. I would love to come back. I'd love to give a shout-out to all my friends from the West End and elsewhere in Amsterdam, if that's okay, Bob.
Sure.
John Rapeppi, Mark DiCaprio, Stephen and Tony DiCicco, Rick Agresta, Tom Hastings and Dave Hastings, Mark Capel, Rich Godlewski, Mike Schofield, Mike Weil, and my good close family friend, Linda Morrell.
And didn't there was one gentleman, I don't exactly remember, but it seemed to be that, like everybody grown up, you had some scrapes along the way, and there was some gentleman who got a lot of you involved in sports, who was sort of key in your upbringing.
Oh, yes. How could I forget Mr. Kohler, Jerry Kohler? Shout out to Jerry Kohler. Yeah, my old basketball coach of the Kohler 49ers.
Well, I do hope you come back. You're out in Ashland, and you're a teacher. And again, refresh my memory on this because we've covered the ground before, but I've forgotten. You teach in run a creative writing program?
Yeah, I direct a graduate writing program, an MFA program in poetry and creative nonfiction.
And you're in Ashland, Ohio. And what's the name of the school?
It's Ashland University. We have about maybe 60 or 70 students studying poetry and creative nonfiction.
One other question. I do have, and this WVTL-FM, we're talking with Stephen Haven, native of Amsterdam. His book is called, his book of poetry, Last Sacred Place in North America. And I interviewed quite a few authors on the show, you know, self-help, you know, whatever. What's it like, and maybe I don't know if you'll take umbrage of the word, marketing a book of poetry?
Well, it's very different than, you know, marketing a trade book. Mainly, I think, the book sells over Amazon, and it sells at reading. So, you know, it's important to stay active and to travel as much as I can to give readings at other universities. That pretty much the marketing takes place by word of mouth and maybe by talking on radio shows like this one.
Stephen Haven, thank you very much. Do let us know if you're coming back to Amsterdam for a reading. And have a good day and good luck with the book.
Thanks so much for having me, Bob.
Take care.